It's hard to make things using such simplistic language. It's just a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, and it makes a whole lot of sense that we would have to do that, even for a highly educated audience.
You're listening to the Merged Marketing Podcast with David Lauch and Jason Hunt. Our mission with this show is to discuss all things business, digital marketing, sales, and mindset. It's our hope to empower entrepreneurs to get the most from their efforts so that they can focus on what they do best.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Merge Marketing Podcast. My name is David, co-host and producer, along with my partner, Jason Hunt. Today, we're pleased to welcome Trevor Hamilton to our show. Trevor Hamilton has a passion for design, persuasion, and business success. He is the founder and president of The Story Web Design and Marketing. Trevor regularly works with small businesses to help them understand and explore what will enable them to succeed in digital marketing. Before starting The Story, Trevor had a successful career in sales and marketing with technology companies. In addition to his work with The Story, he is also a husband and a father of two young boys. Trevor, welcome to our show today.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. We are excited to have you. And for our listeners, today's episode is on an extremely important topic, one that I put so much emphasis on whenever a new client comes on board. It may not be the sexiest part of digital marketing, but in my opinion, definitely one of, if not the most influential success factor, and that is your website. So we are going to be discussing how we as consumers read and therefore use a website and why you can't have one without the other. So before we dive into today's topic, Trevor, we'll just why don't you take a minute to share a little bit more about your experience and what it is that you do at your agency?
Sure. Thanks, David. Well, my company originally started out, the first thing that we started out, the name The Story comes from every website tells a story. The question is, what story is your website telling? And initially with my company and when we started, we were like, well, if you've got a crappy looking website, that tells a story you don't want to tell. But as we progressed, we started integrating more and more things in with it. But what our company does from a broader perspective is we just sit down with our clients trying to understand what they're trying to accomplish and help them get there. And a website is often the first place we start because it's the first place where for many of our clients, they don't have something that is really built to help people to make decisions to buy.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah. So Trevor, when you first bring on somebody that would be a new client and they're wondering, you know, what kind of direction to go with their website, because a lot of times, at least when we speak with clients, it's like, we're the experts, you guys take it and run with it. But are there some key questions that you ask in that initial sort of welcome call that you would have with a client that are important for you to start building that website?
Well, we want to understand who their target markets are and what, how they think and how they make buying decisions. So if you've got and where those people are coming from. So if you've got a corporate client, often there's a significant portion of people who are coming from desktop. If you're talking about consumer, there's a significant portion that are coming from on their smartphones, and each of those markets is different, and we've got to think about them in a different way about how they interact.
Mm-hmm. Is there now, and when you say, you know, when you're talking about the way that the website interacts, tell us, share your insight on how important it is to have a mobile optimized site.
Well, especially if you're doing anything on it to companies who are people who are buying from a retail perspective, that's how most of them are coming. They're actually, most of them are coming on their smartphones, and that's how they're beginning the engagement on with your company. So if it's awkward to use, if it's not a good experience, really a lot of times people, when they come on their smartphones, they're either looking to do something right away, and if it's not easy, they're going to find somebody else who's easier. or they actually come to you because maybe they found you on social media and they're bored. And if it's not an engaging experience, they're gone.
100%. And I think it's so important to note that, because majority of people that are coming to your website from social media, it's a high percent. Like, look, Instagram, nobody uses desktop Instagram, right? So anybody going to your website from your link in your profile is coming to your website on a mobile phone. And it's worth noting that if it's not a good experience and people land on your mobile phone and it's not mobile optimized, people are going to bounce off, which is going to send, you know, it's going to send triggers back to Facebook and Instagram being like, this was not a good post Facebook Instagram experience, and it's going to affect your ads in a pretty negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so aside from the obvious being we are consuming websites on our mobile phones now more than ever, you know, how has the way we've read or read and use websites evolved up until now? Do you have any thoughts on that, Trevor?
Well, whether it's desktop or mobile, phones have really changed how we interact with websites. So 10 years ago, you would go to a website and you might expect to see a high level overview or all kinds of information just on a single screen on your desktop. And you would probably look at the menu and you would determine where you want to go by looking at the menu. But our phones have trained us differently. We scroll through and we take a look at a page. And what we expect to see is we expect to see a high-level summary of what that whole page is all about, of what that company is about. We don't expect to see all the information, but we expect to see a high-level overview. The other thing is when we go to a website today, we almost never, ever read it the first time through. We skim it because really, you know, I don't know about you, but most of the people I know don't have time to just kind of look through and browse through and read websites. So what we do is we skim it and we say, am I in the right place? Does this have the information I want? And if it does, I do one of two things. I go back and I actually read that page, or I dive deeper into the website and do it. Or the third option sometimes is you're like, you know what? You've got my attention. I'm going to sign up. I'm actually going to start to engage with you.
Sorry, David. Yeah, let's unpack that a little further, Trevor. So when we're talking about, you know, those things that help on a website convert, conversion rate optimization, you know, is what we call it. And what are a couple of tips that you can give to a business owner that's looking for a better converting website?
Here's a few tips I give. The first one is avoid the clutter. The more you end up having multiple things where they have to make a decision, should I read this or this or this? Here's a classic example. You'll go on some websites and you'll see where people have testimonials, and they'll have four testimonials all in a row or three testimonials all in a row. Now you're forcing me to make a decision. Which testimonial should I read? Whereas if there's just one testimonial and they can maybe slide to another one, I don't have to make a decision. I read that one testimonial. But when you have the multiples, it's forcing them to make a decision. The second thing I would say is that there's a gentleman by the name of Richard Cialdini. His big thing is he is really talking about how people are persuaded. And one of the things he talks about is the ideal grade level of English for a high converting website is grade 3 English. Now, there's a lot of people who say, well, hey, the people we sell to are really intelligent people. So, you know, they're okay with higher level language. Well, that's actually not what Richard found. He found that even medical doctors are more likely to convert when they get it down to grade 3 level English. Now, it's really important to note that doing grade 3 level English is really difficult to do. If you can get it down to a grade 5 or 6, you know, bless you, you're doing really well. So don't beat yourself up if you can't get it down to grade 3. Even Richard Cialdini, in the chapter he wrote on this, could only get it to grade 4.
Why is that? How come we can't get it down to grade 3? Is it that because we've just evolved past that for so long that it's almost impossible to kind of dumb it down that much, I guess, for lack of a better term?
It's hard to make things using such simplistic language. It's just a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, and it makes a whole lot of sense that we would have to do that even for a highly educated audience, because like you said earlier, we're all busy. We don't have time. We want to read things quickly and understand if it's going to meet our needs or not. And even for those doctors, lawyers, or those highly educated people, it needs to be simple. It needs to be quick, and they need to be able to digest it quickly. So that's an interesting point.
That's exactly what I was going to touch on there. It's just simple, right? People don't have the time to navigate through a website and pull out a dictionary to understand certain words or this or that, or just want to make things simple in their brain, especially when you're going through a mobile experience, at least on social, right? You want things to be very simple and very clear. Clear is the key. You don't want to have to play any puzzles or do any sort of figuring out when you visit a website. You just need to consume the information really quick and simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say there, one thing, Trevor, for a lot of business owners, they don't even realize they have a problem. They think their website is perfectly fine. They had it done back in 2005 and everything's great. What are a few things that you would point out to somebody to say, like, this website could use a refresh. You could use some work.
Well, some other things that I would point out that are common things is, one, full width text. Any website that has full width text, if you ever go to a newspaper, you're never going to see a newspaper that has full width text except in a really big title. Otherwise, it's in small columns. Why is it in small columns? Because it's really difficult when you're reading across to be able to, was I in this line or that line? That makes it more difficult. So anything that's probably bigger than about half width text, unless it's larger text, we would avoid looking at that at all. If the other rule of thumb is no big paragraphs, no long sentences. You want short paragraphs, short sentences, because if I look at a big paragraph, it's intimidating to me. I don't even want to try to skim it. If it's a short paragraph and short sentence, it feels easy for me to be able to read. But I think getting back to your question originally, Jay, is saying, what do we do as far as how do you point out with somebody what other things could be doing it? The question I would ask anybody is to read through their website and say, do I understand what this is? Did I understand it right away? Because some of these people will have things like, welcome to my company. Sorry, that doesn't tell me anything about what it is. When I come to your website, I want to know what you do right away, because I'm still questioning if I'm in the right place most of the time. You need to have a short description of what it is, how you address their problems. Because if you're not talking about their problems and the issues that they have, then they're probably not getting fully engaged. A good website engages somebody's emotions. We're much more likely to make decisions when our emotions are engaged. The other thing they need is like, okay, whenever I go to a website, I'm automatically in the mode of, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. What are the different things that you can do to provide proof? So it could be testimonials. It could be your certifications. There's all sorts of different things to do from a proof point of view that need to be on your website. And then I would say, remind them what problems you can solve at the end, and do a call to action that is compelling to them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's funny, you touched on a good point there, Trevor, because I was actually having a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and they're like, hey, have a look at my website and tell me what you think. And above the fold, the first thing it said was, we'll help grow your business. And I'm like, okay, that's great. What do you do? What do you do? And it wasn't clear. And I said, and I read through the bio, and there's a little piece of a sentence in there that just need to be clipped out and put to the top of their website. And I just went to that website just to check out if he did make that change, and he did. And now it says, we provide comprehensive financial solutions for businesses. Much more clear. You're addressing the pain point right there. And that's what people want to see when they go to your website, right?
Absolutely.
So Trevor, just curious, because I mean, for the listeners today who have websites, I want them to be able to go back and look at their website and very simply recognize like maybe their top three mistakes that they're making or what the top three common mistakes are that that you see on websites. So what you just went over, you know, the inability to be clear as to what you do, what problems you solve, how you do it, and providing that proof. Like, would you say those are the top sort of issues that you see with so many websites out there today?
Well, you know, there's the, it really depends. Each website is its own mess often. But one is how do you have the information that allows them to make a decision, and how do you make it easy to read? And we talked about a bunch of different things that make it difficult for people to be able to read. Websites, whether it's full width text or all this competing noise that's on a website that that makes it difficult.
Because I know when I'm out there looking at websites, whether it be current clients, potential clients, or just as a consumer consuming information and buying things online, I find that the large majority of sites that I go to are a little dated. Would you find the same thing? Like, do you think that the majority of websites out there are a little on the dated side? And how often do you think business owners should be thinking about updating their website?
Oh, that's a really difficult question. I would say, first of all, if you're Coca-Cola, you should probably be doing it a couple times a year at least.
Really?
If you're the local plumbing, the local plumber, I've got a client, they're a plumber. We redid their website 5 years ago. Their website is still doing well for them. It feels current. They're having success with it. They're quite happy. What happens though is when there's a shift or a change or if something's not working, then things need to change. I'd say we've got the local plumber that I've talked about. We've also got Coca-Cola. There's everybody who's in between somewhere. I would say probably about every 5 years is when you probably want a max of your website life, although there are some exceptions to that. For some businesses that really need to feel current, they may want to be doing it every 2 to 4 years.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Are you ready to have your local business stand out from the rest? Guelph Website Design is ready to apply their creativity and expertise for you after discussing your overall goals, to get down to the core of who you really are and what you're hoping your business achieves. Go on and check out guelphwebsitedesign.ca. They're only a call away.
One question I get from clients that are wondering about or inquiring about web design is what platform they use. They have so many options out there: WordPress, WooCommerce, Shopify, Squarespace, Wix. Where do you lean towards, Trevor, when people are looking for advice on this one?
Well, most of our websites that are done are done on WordPress. So we think WordPress is an excellent platform. So we would highly recommend that. There are, when we're talking e-commerce, there's some other decisions that come into there to determine whether or not WordPress is the best platform. For example, WordPress is not the best platform if you've got about 10,000 products. It's just not built for having lots and lots of products. Shopify is another platform which can work well. We do have some clients who they almost never change their website. Almost nothing ever updates. And if they're not having a huge issue with SEO, or SEO isn't a big decision for them, we will build websites in HTML for them, because with WordPress, it needs to be kept up to date. The plugins, the theme, WordPress itself, all of those things need to be kept up to date. And that takes time and effort to do. With HTML, you don't have to worry about any of that. So we would say we work with a broad spectrum, but when it comes right down to it, WordPress is often, in our opinion, the best platform and the best one from an SEO point of view.
Yeah, for the record, I can attest to that. Our company uses WordPress, live on WordPress, and our SEO team thrives off WordPress.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned sort of the updates and the things that you need to keep an eye on, that is a lot of work. Like, are we just talking like you just need to update a plugin like you would update an app on your phone, or what is that process like?
Well, we say it's a lot of work because when an update happens, one, you want to make sure that nothing's changed,
right.
Especially if it's a major update. If there's a major theme update happening, mm-hmm. then you need to really kind of take a look. And our company, what we do is we provide a maintenance package, and we will assess a website in particular, some websites in particular, for every single change to make sure that nothing has changed and everything's still functioning properly. And so we believe that that's an important thing to do. But is it much effort to do the updates? Absolutely not. If something changes, is it a lot of effort? Sometimes. But it's more having a company that has the experience to be able to go in and say, oh, that changed. We can just go in there and make make a change within the website to address the issue that's happened. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we believe that what we offer from a hosting and a maintenance point of view is better than somebody just hosting it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I want to just for a second go back to something you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and that was kind of along the lines of the design of a website. So I just want to clarify. Nowadays, when you're designing a website, should you have on the homepage each section of your website? So you have, you know, your header, you have about us, you have some testimonials, you have maybe a bit about what services you offer. Like, should that all be in bite-sized pieces on the homepage and then have inner pages that are much in much more detail on each of those things?
Generally, we would answer answer that and say yes, because that allows somebody to go and take a high-level overview. What do you offer? And then okay. if they want to dive in deeper, that allows them to go in deeper. For example, mm-hmm. you talked about an about page. Mm-hmm. For most small businesses, the most visited page other than the home page is the about page.
I can see that.
Like, if we can put a portion of the about on the home page or a shortened version of it, and they in their buying pro and they were that when they're reading through the website actually go through and take a look at the about, and they say, oh, well, that's all I needed to read. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Mm-hmm. We now get to keep them right on their buying process, as opposed to they go to another page and then they have to come back. We mm-hmm. want to avoid that whenever possible. Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts on forms, like to submit your name, email address, phone number, whatever information they're looking for? I find that on some websites, it's really only at the bottom of the homepage. But I find some people don't get to that. So should it be at the top as well?
Well, I guess it depends. And when we're talking about conversion rate optimization, mm-hmm. looking at being able to test and see what's working best. Really, that's one of the things that is really important for a company that's doing a lot of business on the web. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing actually in a number of things is, one, how we tend to build it is when we have a lot of calls to action, mm-hmm. it will actually pull up a pop-up or a lightbox form that they can fill out. It doesn't take them to another page. It just pulls up the form, does it really fast.
Yeah.
The other thing that we have and we're seeing works for some folks is that at the very top of the page on many of the inside pages, there'll be a short summary. There'll be a two or three short paragraphs with a form right beside it. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a trend that some people won't even bother scrolling all the way down. They'll read that first two or three paragraphs, they'll fill out the form right away.
Mm. Interesting. Jay, you got anything?
No, that's it. I mean, this has been really good, Trevor. I mean, a lot of good insight. Like I said, a lot of our audience are small business owners that are looking to have websites that obviously can help them convert browsers into customers. So I think there was a lot of value you brought forth today. Is there any other tips you'd like to give, or better yet, how can people reach out to you if they have any questions?
Well, my company is called The Story Web Design and Marketing, so a Google search will find us. So they're certainly happy to do that. Or if you want to really remember the storywebs.com, you're welcome to do that. But I would just really encourage any small business owner out there who's listening to this, that there's likely a lot of things that they can do in their website, how it's written, how it's presented, that can help increase the conversion. There's, I'm a firm believer in search engine optimization, pay-per-click advertising, and how that can help a business. But if we can increase the percentage of people that are converting into prospects and clients when they come to your website, and combine that with SEO and pay-per-click, that can really help a customer be successful. We love to help people do all of those things so they can really grow their business.
100%. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show today, Trevor. We really appreciate it. And we'll just end with the final question that we end all of our episodes with. And that is, if you could choose one person, dead or alive, to represent your brand, who would it be and why?
Wow. I'm not sure where to start with that. Yeah. Who would I even choose? You should have given me a little prep time there.
Trevor, you should have watched an episode.
No, I'm going to have to take a rain check on that one, because all I've got thinking is George Washington, and I've got the back of the dollar bill. Yeah. So I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to say that we help people, that's what signifies our business, because we help people grow their business and get more
make money.
George Washington's more money.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. That's great. Well, thank you again, Trevor, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Gentlemen, it was a pleasure to be a part of this with you.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that was great. It's interesting, Trevor, you came across us, we came across Trevor as another agency that's also local. We are getting our website done as we speak, which is interesting, because Trevor's like, your website could use some work. And I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. But it's so important. Obviously, that experience needs to be very clear, concise, and seamless for that user that's hitting it. Because, we do see there's a lot of companies out there that just have very dated websites. That's just like an ocean full of content that is never going to be read. So
100%. And then they want to jump on and start running social media ads or pay-per-click ads and wonder why they're not converting or why they're not performing well, because it all leads back to the website. And if you don't have a properly built, properly optimized website, then it's just not going to be successful. So it all starts with the mothership.
That's the very first thing that I audit. Anytime somebody comes in for social media paid ads or any SEO, it's like, okay, well, let's go take a look at your website and see where you could use some help there first. Because like I said, if you're sending traffic from Facebook to a website that takes too long to load and people bounce off, what's going to happen is those, your ad costs are just going to increase, because it's a negative experience for that Facebook user post Facebook. But even Google, if you're wasting money on PPC, and I say waste of money because people are clicking on the ad and the page is taking too long to load, or it's not clear that what that link was that they clicked into is not the same message that's married on that website when they go through, it's going to create a bad experience, confusion. People are going to bounce off your site, right?
100%. All right. Well, we want to thank all of our listeners for joining us again today and for listening to the podcast. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, give that 5-star rating. We would really, really appreciate it. And that is it for now. So thank you all.
Until next time.
Take care.